by the causeless mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and our most merciful beloved previous acharyas of Gaudiya Sampradaya, we have the good fortune of assembling together today to begin the 2005 Pune Yatra. These 4 days are very much yearned for by many, many devotees throughout the year. Generally, yatras are when assemblies of devotees go to very holy places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead has performed His pastimes, like Vrindavan, Sri Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri, Badrinath, and so on. But Krishna tells, Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, that wherever my devotees are assembled together to hear and chant my glories, I am there. Wherever the devotees, in a spirit of devotion, are aspiring to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, to hear, to chant, and to serve the Lord together, the Lord manifests Himself most pleasingly in that place, and therefore it is a place of pilgrimage. Maharaj Yudhisthira told Vidura that wherever your feet are present, that is a holy place of pilgrimage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in glorifying his devotee Vakreshwar Pandit, he said, because Vakreshwar Pandit always carries Krishna within his heart, because of his sincere devotion, Krishna always manifests within his heart. Therefore, wherever Vakreshwar Pandit is, all the holy places of pilgrimage are present there. This annual Yatra to Pune is actually a very holy pilgrimage. Sometimes when we go to holy places, people become very much diverted by the commercialism or the ritualism. But here there's none of that. All there is Harinam, Harikatha, and the devotees. Nothing else exists, and prasad. So we come to this Pune Yatra to seek shelter and to find shelter. Because wherever the devotees are gathered together with this enthusiasm for hearing, chanting, and serving the Lord, there is no greater place to find the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that is our purpose. It is not a vacation. It is not an ordinary outing. It is a time to very deeply and sincerely surrender our hearts to the path of perfection. The purpose of Punayatra is to help devotees to gain a much greater and more profound sense of urgency and need to take shelter of Krishna, to take shelter of the Vaishnavas throughout their lives. Maya is very strong. Vishaya vanivartante niraharasya dehena rasa varajam rasopyasya param dristva nivartate. We cannot conquer over Maya by our own efforts. But when Krishna bestows his mercy upon us, being pleased by our honest and sincere efforts, then he gives us a higher taste. That higher taste is so sweet, it is so powerful, that it can carry us across this ocean of birth and death. But Krishna reveals himself in proportion to how we surrender. Surrender is not a matter of what people see. It's a matter of what Krishna sees from within. When Krishna sees that we are honest, we are sincere, we are genuinely trying to be humble and surrender to him, then only does he give the higher taste. The mission of the Krishna consciousness movement is based simply on pleasing Krishna. And we learn the only means of pleasing Krishna is pleasing Guru and pleasing the great Vaishnavas. This year is very special. It is the 108th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's appearance within this world. And throughout ISKCON, all over the world, Prabhupada is being remembered and honored on this occasion. Srila Prabhupada taught by his words and his example what is the substance of this mission. The substance of this mission is simply to please Guru and the Acharyas. Again and again, Srila Prabhupada told us, my only qualification is that I'm simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. I'm simply following his instruction to please him. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta over the Arabian Sea, there was seasickness, heart attacks, many, many great discomforts and life-threatening crises. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in his diary how he was feeling such great, great separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham. How he was longing and missing so much Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, Gopinath, Govindadev, so far from Vrindavan. But then he wrote, but this is my Guru's instruction, and therefore I am happy to do so. Such risk, such discomfort. But he did it all simply to satisfy the order of his Guru. There's that beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Brahmin in Sri Rangam who was reading Bhagavad Gita every day, all 18 chapters, but he was illiterate. He stumbled through the Sanskrit, his vocabulary, grammar, the way he was reciting it, the way he was understanding it, was not at all accurate. But he was weeping in ecstasy. People were listening to him and ridiculing. That is the high seat of learning for all of South India at the time. No one would publicly sit where all of the scholars assembling and recite all wrong. No one. If you were going to do it there, you do it right. Otherwise, you recite some hidden place where none of the scholars will hear you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw the other scholars, but he went right to him and asked him, "You know, what are you speaking? Tell me, what is your realization?" He said, "Actually, I don't understand. I don't know if I say it right or wrong, and I really don't understand what I'm reading. But my Guru Maharaj ordered me to do this in this place every single day, all 18 chapters, and I'm simply trying to please him." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted. Qualification or disqualification is not actually important. What is important is in our heart, Krishna sees our desire to please our Guru, the Vaishnavas and Krishna. That's all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "If you don't understand what you are reading, why you are crying, why your hairs are standing on end, what is causing this emotion?" He said, "As I'm reading, I'm simply meditating within my mind of Shamsundar, Krishna, who is blackish like a rain cloud, who's so humble that he's taking the role of a servant of his own devotee. He's standing on the chariot with the reins of the horses in his hands, carrying out the orders of Arjuna, and then speaking Bhagavad Gita to you. When I think of that form of Krishna, it brings great happiness to my heart." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who previously had defeated Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri, defeated and converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar of the Advaita school, in the future he was going to conquer Prakashananda Saraswati and his tens and thousands of Mayavadi scholars. That Mahaprabhu embraced the Brahman and said, "You are the authority who knows the real import of Bhagavad Gita." And when the Lord embraced him, he awakened within that Brahman's heart the ultimate perfection of love of God. And the Brahman could actually perceive by the Lord's mercy that that same Krishna was standing before him in a beautiful golden form. Srila Prabhupada, from time to time, would tell this particular story, because it's so very important. What's really important for our success is the genuine sincerity in our hearts to carry out the order of the spiritual masters and please them. Prabhupada would say that there were other peoples of Gaudiya Math who were very, very great. Prabhupada would say they were greater Sanskrit scholars and philosophers than him. What was his qualification? Prabhupada said, I made the order of my spiritual master my life and soul. That is my only qualification. What is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness in the Krishna consciousness movement? When we think that it is through our ideas that we know better ways to be Krishna consciousness or better ways to spread Krishna consciousness, than our spiritual masters, then we're on our own. We will not be empowered. But when we simply try to carry out the order, you must use our intelligence and use our creative abilities according to what the sanctions our Gurudevs have given us for his pleasure, then we are empowered. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. We can't really be successful in a real way unless we are empowered. And that empowerment comes through the type of humility Prabhupada emphasized and exemplified. Prabhupada often said to his disciples, do not be over intelligent. Just try to carry out the will of Guru and please him. That was his example, and that is the legacy that he has given all of us. Because through such a humble and sincere and surrendered disposition, the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath flows through parampara and through us. We read of so many great acharyas. I'm thinking of one instance where Lord Chaitanya appeared to Srinivasacharya in a dream and told him, through a devotee named Dvija Haridasacharya. Dvija Haridasacharya told Srinivasacharya when he was just leaving Vrindavan that you should initiate my two sons. And Srinivasacharya never even considered initiating people. He was just serving his guru Gopal Bhatt Goswami and his Shiksha guru Jiva Goswami and carrying out his order to go to Bengal with the Goswami's books. And Dvija Haridas told him, Lord Chaitanya has told me to tell you this. He said, you do not know the power that you have. You cannot understand the power that you have. But it's the power of Lord Chaitanya. It's the power of the parampara. Don't be afraid. Just be an instrument. It is the Lord's will. That is spiritual life. Simply to be an instrument. And on this 108th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's divine appearance within this world, let this be our prayer, that we could let go of all of our egoistic attachments and conceptions. Three great enemies: Kanaka, Kamini, Pratishta. What is that verse? Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini. That means there is a tigress that is coming to devour us. That tigress is coming in three forms: attachment, greed to wealth. Kanaka. Mahaprabhu explained, this is a tigress coming to devour you. Your attachment and greed for wealth. And Kamini, attachment for the pleasures of sex life. It is an all-devouring tigress. And most powerful of all, Pratishtha, the desire for prestige, for honor, for position. But that man and woman eating tigress appears in a form like our best friend. But the Lord and His devotees have warned us, don't be fooled. Greed for wealth, lust for sex, and desire for prestige and position are your greatest enemies. They're coming to devour you. But in this age of Kali Yuga, this female tigress is glorified and praised in literatures, in televisions, in cinemas, in billboards, in dramas, in advertising, everywhere. This is the age where the tigress is the queen of society, and everyone is serving her very sharp, vicious paws. But she's coming to devour us, to destroy our spiritual propensities. So a sincere devotee of the Lord, the only hope is to take shelter. Daibi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mami vami prapadyante mayameta tirantite. This material nature, the divine energy of the Lord, very difficult to overcome. There's only one hope, to surrender to Krishna. And how? How do we surrender to Krishna? Krishna tells us we cannot manufacture our own process. We take shelter of Krishna through the Vaishnavas, through Harikatha, and through Nam Sankirtan. It is so simple and so sublime. Mach chata madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katiyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. My devotees, their hearts become so pure and joyful when they come together to discuss my names and glories. So this Puna Yatra is not just a little vacation to enjoy. It is a necessary scenario in which we come together with the devotees to exclusively focus our entire hearts on the perfection of life. So be enthusiastic. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur explained that one of the expressions of surrender is our enthusiasm. It's not really important whether you feel enthusiastic or not, because that's a personal, selfish matter, what you feel. What is important is how Krishna feels. If you water the root of the tree flourishes into every part. And what pleases Krishna? When, for His sake, we are enthusiastic. So be enthusiastic. If you feel it, wonderful. If you don't feel it, wonderful. Just be it as an offering to Krishna. Enthusiasm to hear. Eagerness. Greed to hear. Krishna is not different than Harikatha. Krishna Sudhamo Pagate. He has descended as Srimad Bhagavatam. The message of the Bhagavat is not different than Krishna. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's incarnating in that sound vibration in the hearts of those who hear with sincere submissiveness. So we should be enthusiastic to welcome Krishna into our hearts through his divine lila and message. And we should be enthusiastic to hear the holy name and chant the holy name, to please Krishna and to enthuse others. Because whatever we do, we are generating that energy, and that energy will influence others. If we are dull and lazy, and then we're actually preaching to people through our actions, which is louder than our words. I can tell you, be enthusiastic. If I'm telling you, chant the holy names, but I don't chant. If I tell you, be enthusiastic, and when kirtan starts, you just... be enthusiastic, and when Yadubar Prabhu speaks, that's not... Actions speak louder than words. And one of the greatest problems in the age of Kali Yuga is people who speak big, big, high words but do not practice what they preach. They actually destroy people's faith. People need to see examples. So our enthusiasm will be, and you're listening now, I hope, but we have to put it into practice. If we hear, but we do not activate what we hear in our lives, then there's no realization. There's hardly any benefit. So during these 4 days, be very, very exceptionally enthusiastic as a tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. It is not meant to do what I feel like doing. Recently, someone was telling me that we shouldn't resist anything, because if you resist, that desire will persist. Resist, persist. So just, you know, just do what you feel like doing, and, you know, add a little, you know, spiritual spice to it all, and be peaceful. But this, if you resist, it will persist. Where is that in any scripture? Tani saravani samyasyam yukta asita matpara. Krishna tells you must, if a person of intelligence is one who restrains the senses and fixes his consciousness upon me. Krishna said we must guard against this lust, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Yes? So tapasya means to reject what is unfavorable for devotional service, even if it's difficult, and to accept what is favorable for devotional service, even if it's difficult. And what is favorable? Our enthusiasm. Enthusiasm to hear the glories of the Lord. Enthusiasm to perform service to the Vaishnavas. Enthusiasm to preach the message to the conditioned souls. And enthusiasm to very loudly fill the entire universal creation with the sound of Krishna's holy names. Very enthusiastic. After all I'm saying, is that all you can do? Please try again. Hey, Krishna! Hey, Krishna! Hey, Krishna! at the end of these 4 days, you can still talk and you can still walk, then you haven't really done it right. Not to that extent, but we should be very enthusiastic. We should give it all we have. Prabhupada would sometimes say we should live each day as if it is the last day we have in this lifetime. That is how sincere we should be. So Puniyatra is time when we have come away from all our occupational duties. We have come away from all of our family responsibilities for 4 days. It's not so much. Consider, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates would give up all these things and go to Puri every year, for 4 months. And most of them are grihasthas with families. Yes, Advaitacharya had 6 children. Shivananda Sen, 3 children. So many. But every year, for 4 months, they would just exclusively do nothing but associate with devotees, serve the Vaishnavas, hear Hari Katha, and chant Hari Nam. So from 4 months, we are doing 4 days. So during these 4 days, let it just spiritually surcharge our consciousness in such a way that it will give us strength and faith throughout the entire year. That is the purpose of this yatra. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to see anything. It's all here. Our worshipable deities are Sri Nithai Gaurachandra and the Vaishnavas. And Nithai Gaurachandra have appeared in such a way that they're simply dancing with us. Look at these forms. They have come to induce us to join into their eternal lila of Nam Sankirtan. So please, every moment is so precious. Let us take a very, very humble attitude of service to the Vaishnavas. Enthusiasm to hear and to chant. This year, we are especially blessed by many very great empowered souls. We have a whole assembly of Srila Prabhupada's very dear and surrendered disciples. I would like to briefly introduce them to you now. For me to speak and give justice to these personalities would take very immense time, because their accomplishments, their service, their devotional qualities are extraordinary. But I'll speak just a few words. Please forgive me for whatever mistakes. To my right, we have the world famous, extraordinary Mahatma, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj.
Jiva! Jiva! Jiva!
Devamrita Maharaj was a student at Yale University, one of the Ivy League schools of America. Yale University is probably the most powerful college in America. Most of the presidents of the United States and powerful leaders that control the U.S. and the world are graduates of Yale.
And Devamrita Maharaj is dovetailing that propensity to lead us in Krishna consciousness. Very learned, brilliant intelligence, incredibly empowered preacher, very, very creative in his, very convincing, very philosophically enormous in his realizations, and expert at presenting Krishna consciousness on very crucial topical issues according to time, place, and circumstance. He joined in the early 1970s, and he was a very wonderful book distributor. He worked for the BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, and helped significantly in the publication of Srila Prabhupada's books during Prabhupada's manifested Leela in this world. And later on, he fearlessly went behind the Iron Curtain to preach in the communist countries, risking his life to get anything done. It's not like so easy in India where you just decide we'll have a festival and make an advertisement and thousands of people come. Oh, he had to do so many underground espionage type risking life activities just to reach somebody. A lot of tension. Why did he do it? Because he loved Srila Prabhupada. Why else could anyone do that? There was no credit. There was no glory. There was only the service to his spiritual master. Living in very difficult poverty conditions. But it didn't matter. A person is empowered by Krishna actually according to their surrender. And later on, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj and myself performed very inconceivable and impossible to explain services together at New Vrindavan. At a time in history that is a great mystery to the world. And Devamrita Maharaj, he's doing some of the most successful outreach programs in all of the Western countries. In New Zealand, Australia, and various other places, he created what he calls the loft preaching. Sounds quite lofty. But he creates a scenario in these Western cities which is very accommodating for people, where people, intelligent people of all ages, even very highly placed professional people, just feel comfortable in a setting to associate with devotees. And actually, they're nourished and fed with the pure siddhanta of bhakti. And so many people, their lives have been transformed by this ingenious program that he has created. And he's traveling all over the world and inspiring everybody. You will be amazed by his powerful presentation, his kirtans, his lectures, very spellbounding. And he's a very dear friend. I'm so grateful that you have come, Maharaj. Let us all very, very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj to our Pune. He's come all the way from London. He arrived at 3:00 this morning just for this program, because he was invited by our devotees with great
sincerity. We have also been blessed by one of the dearest, most loved Vaishnavas in the 14 worlds, His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Niranjan Maharaj is such a dear friend to me. Practically anything in my heart I tell him, because I have such complete trust and faith in his being my ever-well-wisher. And for that I'm sorry that I burden you in this way. Maharaj came to Krishna consciousness in the early 70s and surrendered his life and soul to Srila Prabhupada and never even considered taking anything back since that day. He was brahmachari, book distributor, he was temple president of Boston, Sankirtan leader. College preacher in America, breaking many grounds and very successful. And later on, he also, very similar to what we were speaking of Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he went to the Soviet Union. And we have heard stories how he had to disguise himself as a tourist, constantly under government surveillance. And he was on just ordinary tours of Moscow, and he would sneak away from the rest of the tour, risking himself in so many ways to meet the devotees who were all secretly underground. And he would have kirtan with them. There was no cartels. He would just tap his fingers. And they would sing, and he would give them classes, sometimes for 6 or 8 hours at a time. And these poor devotees who were freezing in the cold, who were risking their lives, many of them were sent to prison camps and being tortured and killed. These devotees were serious. To be a devotee in the Soviet Union during communist regime means you have to be willing to suffer, be tortured, lose everything, and die at any moment. If you're caught doing Krishna consciousness, that may be what happens. And they would be so eager to hear. Not a person would even blink their eyes practically as they'd ask questions for sometimes 8 hours. Yes? And Maharaj just gave himself completely and put so much of his life and energy into that. Much tension, much risk, much inconvenience, much poverty. He left his wealthy American home for that. Why? Because he loved Prabhupada and had faith in Prabhupada's mercy. And now he is a GBC and guru for so many thousands of people. And you'll be happy to know one of the most underestimated and successful, powerful projects in all the world is the preaching in Ukraine. Maharaj has been developing Ukraine for many, many years. Like Moscow, there's thousands of devotees there. Dozens and dozens of temples. So much enthusiasm. And it has manifested very much under the enthusiastic and pure heart of Niranjan Swami's love. And you'll be happy to know that tomorrow night, Yadubar Prabhu and his wonderful team, they will be showing the premier showing of a video on
the Ukraine project. Krishna consciousness in Ukraine. And I haven't seen it. But if it's anything, if the video is anything like what it really is in Ukraine, then your hearts will melt. And the way they will melt is it will cause tears to flow from your eyes. Wait and see. Niranjan Swami Maharaj is loved for his beautiful kirtans, which come right from his loving heart, his wonderful classes, and his wonderful association and qualities. Thank you, Maharaj, for coming to our Pune Yatra. Let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj.